and turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 9, and I want to preach on the man from Macedonia. The man from Macedonia. He'll be correcting this microphone a little bit as we get started, so bear with him. I think they've changed a lot of those settings, but anyway, we'll be with you. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 9. You have your Bible? Hold it up a second. That's good. Hey, look at all the Bibles. Must be a Bible-believing group. Well, let's go to the Word of God. As we look at verse 6, Acts chapter 16, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Now notice who is telling them this. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit," capital S, "suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia." Now get a picture here in verse 9. "A vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, asked him, called on him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" Come to Macedonia and help us. This text, folks, changed the situation of the whole world. This particular occasion that is here actually changed civilization in a mighty way, in a big way. Paul wanted to go east. He didn't want to go in this direction. He had his heart set on another territory. And I believe Timothy was with him. And then we know from verse 10, Luke probably had joined them. And so they were wanting to go in another direction, but the Holy Spirit began to direct them. Now, if Paul had gone in the direction Paul wanted to go into, then China and India would have been sending missionaries to the white pagans of England, Scotland, Ireland, Germany, and France. But it didn't go that way, did it? And I'm not against them, but I'm telling you, I'm glad God saw fit to do this. And the Holy Spirit directed them to do otherwise. And so that's what they did. Now, I want you to notice something about these three men, and especially Paul. They were connected to and in fellowship with and in close communion with the Holy Spirit of God. And may I suggest to you tonight, or remind you tonight, that the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. Just like the one to your left or right, in front of you or behind you, the Holy Spirit is a person. So don't call him an it. And the Holy Spirit is working, and they had a remarkable reverence for the Holy Spirit. Do you tonight? We should listen to the Holy Spirit of God as He speaks. Now, I'm afraid today, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, a lot of our churches and a lot of our people are missing the importance of the Holy Spirit. And I remind you tonight that if we'll let Him, we can be led by the Holy Spirit of God. And the direction of the Holy Spirit will be an infallible direction. Won't have any errors in it. If you follow someone else, you might have some errors in it. But sometimes we can't comprehend that we actually have the privilege to walk in familiarity with the Holy Spirit of God to direct our lives. The problem today is we live in a secular world and we think like a secular world. And that's a bad deal when we do that. We have our choices that we make and we leave the Holy Spirit out of it. We are geocentric. We're earth-centered. Whatever we want to do on this earth, and our vision is all earth-centered. Our habits are earth-centered. Our ways of living are earth-centered. And sometimes we fail to let the Holy Spirit guide us, but if He guides us, He'll do it without error. Now, let me illustrate something to you if I can. We have the effect of matter on matter that we have no problem accepting. So here's this Bible. Now, I let go of the Bible. What happens to it? It drops down.
and I let go of it again, it drops down. So we believe in a principle called gravity. Why doesn't it go up? Why doesn't it go sideways, left or right? But it all goes down. And so that's because of gravity. It is an unseen force. But let me ask you something. Do you understand gravity? I can tell you that even scientists really do not understand. They cannot explain gravity, and yet we do accept it, don't we? I could take a white piece of paper and put some metal shavings on it and put a magnet under it and move it around, and those shavings would change positions on that white piece of paper. And why is it that a magnet works like that? Can you really explain it? No, but do you accept it? Yes, because you've seen it done. We accept that. We accept gravity. We accept those things. I read where in the Bay of Fundy, that's a funny name, isn't it? The Bay of Fundy in Nova Scotia, Canada, when the tide comes in, it rises, believe it or not, 70 feet. Now explain why there's a force out there called the moon that can work on the Atlantic Ocean and by that power that it has, raise the water up 70 feet. As the tide comes in, you wouldn't want to build your beach house too close to the beach and that in that area. But we really can't explain it. The unseen, the invisible powers that are out there, but we accept those powers. We accept the power of mind on mind. There's the power of people in their minds in what they say that will have a great impact on the minds of others. A man like Napoleon Bonaparte, who had a great mind, but he had all the nations in his hand because of his brilliance. They listened to what he said. World War II, there was a man by the name of Winston Churchill. When it seemed like everything was bad and everything was going downhill, and there was no hope, Winston Churchill could speak and get on the radio, and the people would listen to him, and they got courage, and they believed they could win the battle, and thank God it was all taken care of. It was won. There was a man by the name of Karl Marx. Through what he thought and what he shared with other people, just an idea. It's not the A-bomb or the H-bomb that has the power. It's the idea from men's minds many times that have that power. And he wrote the Communist Manifesto, and today we still have problems with the results of his mind and the Communist Manifesto. So I'm just simply saying we can accept all of these affecting our lives, but not accept the reality of the power in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. A lot of Christians do not understand that we must follow his leadership. And I will say here very quickly, he never contradicts his word. The Holy Spirit's never going to do that. So there's a third level that some people go to after this, and that is the intellectual appreciation level. And they try to go to that, and that influences their lives. I remember our bus driver when we went to Branson a few years ago. His name was Herb Gambalski. That's a mouthful to say, but Herb, I witnessed to Herb while we were on that trip. And as I was talking to him, he just very proudly said, "Well, Pastor, I appreciate you talking to me," but he said, I'm not really an atheist, but I'm a doubter. I'm sort of someone who just doesn't really believe in all of that." And I began to talk to him, and I've been praying for him ever since. I hope I'll see him again. I've sent him material. I've written him letters. But Herb Gambalski believed in his mind he had all the answers, and it was purely intellectual, and he wanted to continue living as an infidel might live. In other words, everything in his life has to be scientific. It has to be something that is materialistic. It has to be something he can touch or see or describe. That's the way he looks at life. But I want to tell you there's a higher level than that. Story number one, second story, third story, the fourth story, and that is to live in the presence of Almighty God. To live in the presence of God. And when you do that, you live a rich life. You live a full life. You live a spiritual life because you're walking in God's ways, you're letting the Holy Spirit direct you, and you're directed by heaven's word and by heaven's wisdom, the Bible and the Holy Spirit together directing. And Paul was that way. He was directed by the Holy Spirit. He loved the Holy Spirit. He listened to the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have visions today. We don't need those anymore. Every once in a while, somebody would come up and tell me about a vision they had. My opinion is they ate too much spaghetti. But at any rate, they'll tell you about some weird, unbiblical vision that they've had. And they did have them back then. But I can tell you this, that it was the Spirit of God he was listening to the most. And the vision was used as the Holy Spirit wanted to use that vision to get a hold of his mind and his heart. And so he was directed by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, Paul, don't go east. Don't you go north or south. So here Paul is, and maybe Timothy with him, and Luke, and they're at the Aegean Sea. They come to the Aegean Sea and they say, what do we do now? Where do we go now? The Holy Spirit said, don't go here, don't go here, don't go here. So what's left? Remember this, that the Holy Spirit always has a choice. The Holy Spirit always has a will, a sovereign will that he wants to carry out in our lives. And the Holy Spirit always has a purpose in my life and your life in leading us the way the Holy Spirit leads us. We must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So he always leads. He's infallible. He has a choice. He leads with a purpose in our life. Now, if you want to have that wonderful life, that victorious life, that triumphant life, that heavenly life, that glorious life, listen to the Holy Spirit. Live in the will and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. It is the highest life we can live, and God gives us that opportunity to do that. So what does the Holy Spirit do? And I spend some time on this. This is not necessarily missions at this point, but I spend some time on it because we need to understand who the Holy Spirit is. And we need to follow the Holy Spirit. So what do they do now? Well, God graciously gave him a vision. Gave him a vision. And there was a man in the vision, the man of Macedonia, verse 9 says, there stood a man of Macedonia. I believe this man was dressed in Macedonian garb so that he would know that he was a man from Macedonia. And so they're praying and asking this in this vision. This man is saying, come over here. We need help. Boy, there's a cry all over the world like that, isn't it? Come over here. We need help. And so he's asking for help. Now, this land was an important land. It was the land of Philip of Macedon. And he was the son of the son was Alexander the Great, and he was a tremendous general, and possibly affected the world outside of Jesus Christ like no other mankind had. Really had an impact on the world, and there was a genius of the whole civilized world, and it was made part of the Greek Empire with the Greek culture and language impacting all of them. I don't know who the vision was. There are some conservative scholars that believe that it was Alexander the Great that he saw in the vision. I don't know. But I know he saw a man dressed in Macedonian clothes. And he's saying, what is he saying? We need help. We need help. We need help. Now that seems strange to me that they needed help. Because of all the countries and nations in the world at that time, they were the greatest. They had the great historians that we've heard about. They had the oratory of Demosthenes. They had the great government that they would have. They called them salons, and they had a great government that was powerful. They had poetry by Homer. They had paintings and sculpture by great people, science and math by Euclid and Pythagoras. And they had philosophy by Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. They had all of this and all the education and all the wealth and all of those things. And yet they're saying, come over here and help us. Come over here and help us. Did they have religion? Oh, yes. Boy, did they have religion. Religion is not going to take you to heaven. But in Athens, they have the Acropolis, and that word simply means high city. You have Indianapolis, that's the city of the Indians. And so they have the Acropolis, and on that they have a crowning architecture right up on the top of it called the Parthenon. And that is a temple, and some say that they had, believe it or not, as many as 30,000. 6,000 gods that they worship. You say, I can't hardly believe that. Well, go to India with me sometimes. You go over there and see how many gods they have. All kinds of gods. Monkey gods and animal gods and all, and reincarnation. You name it. And they had all kinds of religion. And they even had one to the unknown God. Paul sort of used that to preach, didn't he, one time? But they had religion. And Paul said, I perceive that you're very superstitious. And another way of saying that is, I perceive that you're very religious. They had rituals, they had ceremonies, they had music, they had all of that. And basically, they didn't really have any infidels or atheists like we have in our culture today and in secular humanism, but they had religion everywhere. They had all of these other things. They had religion, and they're saying, come over and help us. You see, because all those other things are empty and they are void. And they are saying, is there truth? Is there a true God out there? Is there someone can help us and tell us who we are, why we're here, where we're going when we die, and if there is eternity? They had all of this, but they wanted to know the other. And religion always fails. I believe the human heart around the world, because of what God has given humanity in conscience and other things, that they hunger and thirst for truth. They want to know truth because truth is what they need. And so the moving of the Spirit of God comes upon Paul, and when the moving of the Spirit of God on truth comes to people, they come to the Lord. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and I, brethren, when I came to you, Paul said, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but, watch this now, in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Every person here that witnesses needs that. We need the power of God. Every missionary that's going out needs the power of God. Every person who preaches needs the power of God. Every person who serves God in any way, we need the power of God to go. And Paul knew that. Paul was very well educated. But he said, I'm not depending on my personality, my education, or anything else. He had some kind of physical malady. But he went out knowing that it was the Holy Spirit of God that was going to get the job done. And we must lean on the Holy Spirit of God. So we have the heart cry of people today all over the world. And I'm glad to tell you that the power of God is a reality. And I like this building. I spent a lot of time helping design it with some other folks. And don't you think that's brilliant? I mean, it looks good, doesn't it? Ron Baldwin and I, you put Ron Baldwin and me together, no telling what we'll come up with. But I like the accoutrements here. I like the sword. That came off of the sword of the Lord. I like these other places here. They're not Catholic stations. They all have a meaning. If you want to know sometimes, ask me or Ron what they mean. But I like all of that. But I want to tell you what, friend. It's not the building that's going to get the job done. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. And we could meet in a barn. And as the missionary said tonight, where we were, Brother Fritz, we could meet under trees and still have a church and have the power of God there. Because it's not those things. It takes the power of God. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament came and left on Samson and Moses and the pillar of smoke and the fire by night and the Shekinah glory and all of that, and came and left. But on the day of Pentecost, things changed, folks. Oh, thank God for the day of Pentecost. And all of that changed. And the Holy Spirit abides in a different temple now. He lives in your heart if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, He doesn't live in you. But if you are saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. He moved in the very moment you got saved. And I'm glad that He did. He's in your heart. And when the church gathers together, we all gather with the Holy Spirit of God in us. Now, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit or quench the Holy Spirit. We want to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. But I believe when the Spirit of God is moving among us, He moves, and as He moves, we all have some results in our life. And one of those is, number one, we care for lost souls. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you to care about whether people die and go to hell or not. I promise you, He's going to lead you that way. And then we want to obey whatever assignments He gives us. As the Holy Spirit directs us, we want to do what He says. That's why these missionaries yielded to go to their various fields. Because the Holy Spirit got a hold of their heart and they said, yes, this is what you want me to do and I'm going to do it. And we need to respond to the Holy Spirit. And when we do, we get out of ourselves. You know, one of the problems we have today is that we're so wrapped up in self. That's why a lot of people don't surrender to go to the mission field. They're too wrapped up in self. And we need to quit thinking about self and moaning and groaning and having our pity parties. And we need to quit living for self and live for the Lord. And open your heart tonight for the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And when He leads you and you want Him to lead you, the results will be you'll have a love for His work. I don't know anybody that's controlled by the Holy Spirit doesn't want to get involved in the local church. If they really are controlled by the Holy Spirit, and you'll have a love for lost souls, and I believe you'll have a love for worldwide missions, global missions, if the Holy Spirit is guiding your life. So the Lord opens the door, and the Lord leads the way. And when He does, all we need to do is say, here am I, as Isaiah did, send me, let me go. Here am I, send me. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. Now, if you're here tonight and you're lost, may I simply say to you that God is probably speaking to you right now. And I can tell you that Jesus died for you. You're a sinner. Most everybody here tonight is saved. There may be one here that isn't. And that one is valuable to God, I promise you. And the Holy Spirit will speak to that person and tell them, you're lost, you're a sinner. Jesus died for you. He paid the price on Calvary. And if you'll trust Him, He will save you, and the Holy Spirit will tell you that. The night I got saved as a 9-year-old boy, about 5 rows back in a little country church, the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart and said, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. I remember the preacher that preached, and he preached on hell, and I saw a girl that was meaner than a junkyard dog go out, and I thought, if God can save her, bless God, He can save me. And I went down the aisle right after her, and I got saved. And here I am tonight because the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Listen to Him. He's real, amen. And we ought to pray that every service that is conducted here, the power of the Holy Spirit just saturates and permeates this place and gets a hold of the hearts of pitiful, lost people. We ought to do that. But most of us here tonight are saved. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you tonight? Are you sure? We ought to let Him guide us. We need to pray and ask God to show us. And Holy Spirit, show me, teach me, let me know what you want me to do. Would you dare pray that and ask God, show me what you'd want me to do? Because I believe if some of you young couples, no matter how lucrative your business is, no matter what your plans are, no matter what's going on in your life, that God, the Holy Spirit, might speak to you and say, I want you to go to the mission field. Now, what are you going to do with that? You say, well, I'm a little uneasy about it. I'm thinking about it, and something's going on. Friend, that's the Holy Spirit dealing with you. And that's how people get called to go to the mission field. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Listen to Him. He may want you there. Some of you retired people. I retired, but I hadn't retired. I just retreaded and kept on going. And doing some other things. Everybody says, what are you doing with your spare time? I have no idea what spare time is. I don't have the same pressures. I don't have to have deacons meetings and all that stuff. No, I had some good deacons, I promise you. And I better be careful what I say. But listen, you listen to God. You hear me? If the Holy Spirit, I don't care what your position is in this church. I don't care if you're on staff in this church. If the Spirit of God breaks your heart and says, you come and follow me and go to the mission field, then that's exactly what you ought to do. That's exactly what we ought to do. Listen to Him. And then do what He says as we pray and ask Him to lead us. How about have you been praying, Lord? Show me what to do with my faith promise. And my wife and I have been praying. We don't share that figure until a little bit later on. And just about every time, I hardly know of a time that I recall that God hadn't laid the same figure on her heart and my heart. And we come up with that figure, and sometimes it's like, really? Well, that's what God was leading me. Was it leading you? Yes. Well, let's do it. Praying and letting the Holy Spirit, what do you want us to do? How much do you want us to increase? And let me tell you, I believe the Holy Spirit would lead everybody to get involved in faith promise giving. And giving to the work of the Lord through missions. And then how about surrendering to missions, as I said. And again, in Macedonia, he said, we need help. All of these places, the 1040 window, oh my soul, the help that is needed there. How about praying to go on short-term missions trip? You say, well, it'd mess up my trip to Miami Beach. Son, let me tell you, you'd be better off to go somewhere on the mission field than there. God will do something in your heart and for you that you wouldn't believe, and you'll come back a different person. Give up your vacation to something that we're so used to, entertainment, and go somewhere where God can break your heart for a lost and dying world. Some of you tonight need to give up that secret sin you've got in your life, that practice that nobody else knows about. The Holy Spirit puts His hand on it and says, you better give it up. The Holy Spirit says to some of you, this is a good church, join this church. Well, what are you waiting for? Listen to Him if He says do that. And then I believe the Holy Spirit would lead you to get involved in ministry. You see, folks, there's a need. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to let Him guide us. I'm glad Paul listened, because the gospel came to Europe. And I want you to know, that's our grandparents and great-grandparents. That's on back in our heritage, that the gospel came across there into that area and across and all the way through and finally here in America. Thank God that Paul listened to the Holy Spirit and did what he said. And the call from Macedonia, they went over. And oh, did God bless. We're souls saved and churches planted. We just need to listen to the Holy Spirit tonight. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. I believe God speaks to hearts through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. While our heads are bowed, would you just pray right now something like this? Holy Spirit, and you're praying, God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, they're all three the same. Holy Spirit, is there something you want me to do? Show me, lead me, speak to my heart. And if He's calling you to the mission field, don't fight the Holy Spirit. Yield to Him. Say, yes, yes, I'm available. Here am I. I'll go. May God help us. And if there's other things you need to do, some are at the altar and it's already open, but if there's something else you need to do, something you need, you may need to rededicate your life tonight. I don't know. May God help you to come. Father, thank You for the precious Holy Spirit who indwells us. We're thankful, Holy Spirit, You're here tonight. God, You're everywhere present. Holy Spirit, You live in us. Please speak to us and help us not to fight or quench or grieve You. We love You. And Lord, if You're calling some to go to the mission field, please help them to just yield to the Holy Spirit and go. May change their plans, may change their whole life. It would be the right thing to do if You're speaking to them. Whatever the need may be, may Your will be done. In Christ's name, amen.